I want to thank you all for being here to stay to be with us to remember Jack and Kathy Fogg. We will start off with an invocation or a musical selection on hymn number 136, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, after which Keanu Fogg will give the invocation.
Thank you. Our Father in heaven, we're gathered here today as children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and friends of Jackie and Kathy. And we're so grateful for the opportunity that we've had to have them be a part of our lives. We're so grateful for the lessons that they have taught us of selfless love and kindness. We're so grateful for the plan of salvation, knowing that we can return to our Heavenly Father and be with them again. We're so grateful for the atonement of Jesus Christ that was able to help Grandma and Grandpa endure the pains of this world. And now they are whole and no longer have to suffer. We're so grateful that they could leave this world together, that they didn't have to spend any time apart, even though it hurts. Please bless those that are speaking today, that they can be comforted and that they can deliver their message that they prepared, and that we can celebrate the life of Grandma and Grandpa. Help us to love one another as they did. And help us to bring our family closer together and those we come in contact. Help us to bless the lives of others the way that they would have. We're thankful for the military and the law enforcement. Please be with them as they're protecting us. And please be with their families as they leave every day. Again, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for all of our blessings and thy hand in our lives. We love you so very much. We say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Keani. Just for your knowledge, the family prayer was given by Andy Levitt, son-in-law, and our prelude and postal music is done by the Allens, so the second word. We will start off with the eulogy. Oh, by the way, I'm Bishop Hughes, and conducting, and President Abbott is presiding over this meeting. We will start off with the eulogy for Mom by Cassandra Levitt, and then eulogy for Dad will be by Slade Fott. After which we will have a special musical number. Families can be together with the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of Jackie and Kathy. That will be accompanied by Michael Crisby. We will then have a tribute to Mom and Dad by Ellen Fott, and we'll go to that point in the meeting.
Imagine, if you will, the dawning of a beautiful, brisk morning in Hurricane Utah. The glimmer of the sun peeking out over the mountains and the birds sitting in the leafless trees. They shake themselves and they burst into song. Perhaps we were singing about a babe that would be born before the clock struck noon. It was a Sunday. Day of February 1946, and my mother, the most beautiful woman in the history of the world, was born. Catherine Hardy was the third child born to Elwood and Anna Hardy. And today we are honoring and celebrating and remembering Mom. She was a woman of grace and courage with a stubborn streak that showed up when she set her mind to something. And I am humbled by a challenge to describe the fullness of her beauty here today. had a magical way of bringing joy every single time she walked into a room. And no one who ever met her could forget the smile and the way that she made them feel. Mom spent most of her years growing up in Bunkerville. She claimed to be a headstrong little girl, a tomboy. She liked to go with her dad to feed the pigs and ride the horses. And she loved to play outside all hours of the day and night. She played hopscotch a lot, hide and seek, and a game called Rubbers. She told him how all of the kids in the neighborhood would get together and they would cut old tire tubes into strips about a half of an inch wide and then tie three or four of them together. Then they would chase each other, pulling the rubbers apart with their fingers using both of their hands and letting them go to hit their target. And she played this game for years, up until the neighbors got the first TV in Bunkerville, and then they watched that a lot. Her family loved to go fishing and deer hunting, pine picking, and searching for arrowheads. They would often go visit their grandparents in Hurricane, where she would climb the big nut trees and play at the park across the street. She tells of the times when she was young and their family didn't have a lot of money to go on vacations, so they would go to Salt Lake and Idaho and California to visit their aunts and their uncles, and the family outings were a lot of fun for her. Although they were extravagant vacations, she knew her family members and she loved them. Mom remembered her mom and dad always having a big Christmas. And this was no doubt the birth of her love for holidays and birthday celebrations. Mom always made the best birthday cakes. She worked tirelessly to give that gift to the recipient. Easter and Christmas were always celebrated in a really big way in her home. Now Mom knew right from wrong. She told it a story when she was 9 or 10 years old. Her dad was a janitor at the time at the school while it was still in Bunkerville. She was over with him, helping him sweep the floors in one of the classrooms there. Nobody else was inside the room, and she opened up the door, and there happened to be a little bit of change sitting there. And she had been taught not to steal, but she looked around and she didn't see anybody, and so she took the money. She stopped at the store. There was happened to be a little store on the way home, and she stopped. And she bought something, a little candy with the money. As she walked on toward home, though, she felt probably a heavy burden, and she stopped by a salt tree. And she dug a big hole, and she buried the money in the hole. But she stopped at her money tree until the money was gone. And after that, the guilt set in. And she said she didn't remember how long it took her to pay that money back, but she did every cent. She took it back to the classroom and put it back in the teacher's desk because her lesson had been learned and she never stole again. Mom always wanted to get married and have babies. She loved the children. She was a babysitter to all. She liked to learn how to cook, and she loved to do anything that taught her how to be a good homemaker. She loved PE, and she was good at sports, but she excelled at drama. Mom and Dad both attended school at Virgin Valley. Mom initially felt sorry for Dad. He didn't like to do his homework, and so his grades were often on the bad side. And so Mom would do his homework so he could pass on to the next grade. She said she thought he was cute, but nothing romantic. In the 11th grade, he would take Mom and her friends for rides in his car. Mom was Catherine, K-A-T-H-E-R-E-N-E, not K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. All of her life, she asked her parents why they spelled it that way. And Grandpa's answer was that she was special. She was unique. And so her spelling didn't match that. Now, Mom claimed that she had never really looked at her birth certificate until she was an adult and wanted to go to Cabo San Lucas. There, right in the middle of her birth certificate, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. She couldn't believe it. All of her life, she spelled it with an E. And so it just stayed. The only real mistake Mom ever made resulted in me. She had a crush on a much older teacher. And when she discovered that she was pregnant, the two families got together. And his mother offered Mom lots of money if she would abort the baby. Mom never gave Juanita's offer a minute's notice. And she gave birth to me on August 21st, 1965. I am eternally grateful that my angel mother kept me, withstanding the ridicule, the pain, and the sacrifices that choice caused her. Now back in 1965, when a young pregnant girl wasn't married, they put the mother into a room all by herself. And Mom, she was really scared. She hadn't had any classes to teach her what was to be expected. And she recalled being in the most pain she could thought she could bear. She was so happy that I was a little girl and that I didn't look like Carl. Mom was an example, a beacon of choosing wrong from right, even when her mistake was going to alter the course of her life. She did the right thing. Now, it was sometime after graduation that Mom started to feel different about Dad. Before, she had felt sorry for him, but now she worried about him. She worried about where he was, who he was with, and what he was doing. When Mom left to go to Dixie, Dad went off to drive by her house, but he was too shy to stop. The first time he finally asked her out, she was heavily pregnant with me, but Dad was not deterred. He would go and visit Mom, take her for rides, and then after I was born, he would take us both for rides. On the night before Valentine's Day, 1966, Mom and Dad were sitting in his car, the old red, and Dad told Mom to open up the jockey box. Mom was surprised to find a diamond ring. Dad wasn't very romantic. But Mom was smitten, and they were engaged. Jack Fott had a super red 442 car, and she thought that was so neat. He always said she married him for his car, but the irony is they had to sell it not too long after they were married. Mom and Dad were married on May 28th, 1966, and I was 9 months old, and I was still to them at this time. Mom and Dad bought a used trailer. They moved it onto a lot. They bought in Bunkerville right across the street from the old school building. They then moved to Boulder City for a couple months. Then they took their trailer to Las Vegas for a year before moving back to Bunkerville before Elwood was born. Their little trailer was a nice home. Later, they bought a home in Mesquite. It was on the corner of the Mesquite Boulevard, next to the big bend in the road. It had a big yard, and they filled it with cows and lambs and rabbits. They were poor, but they thought they had really moved up in the world. And Slade was born in this home. We lived there for a few years before they bought the Desert Palms Motel. I remember working together at the motel, cleaning the rooms, washing the towels and sheets, and ironing the pillowcases. And we loved that pool. The motel was home for 5 years. Then they bought the 120 acres of land on the hill just across the bridge in Bunkerville in 1976, where they built their house and business, and they lived for the remainder of their days. Mom and Dad took their family vacations often to Seattle, Washington to visit Aunt Annette and her family. Mom loved her sister, and their relationship flourished and deepened over the years. Many cherished family memories were also made together at Lake Powell. Together, Mom and Annette cared for their mother when her health declined. Mom also especially enjoyed the companionship of her dog, Revo, a Christmas gift from 2008. She loved him unconditionally, and he really, really, really loved her. She was devastated when he passed away last year. Mom spent 20 years driving the school bus. She offered each child individualized attention as they walked onto that bus. She made a difference, and she impacted hundreds of children over the years. Mom loved her bus driving job. She started every morning at 6 a.m., driving to Riverside to pick up those first kids. And this job allowed her to drive to all the sporting events while her kids were involved. She bragged that she got paid to watch her kids playing their games. It was raining. The day her bus job came to an end, she was sweeping the floor, and there was mud on the top step. She slipped on the mud and landed sitting up on the bottom step. She tells of trying to finish her bus run that day, but by the end of the day, she hurt like crazy. Her back was operated on for the first time in 1994. She tried to go back to work, but needed pain medication to get by, and she couldn't drive the bus while taking the pills, so she involuntarily retired. She had 7 or 8 additional major back surgeries, but the pain never subsided. It was raining, and she fell on the steps of the bus. And quoting Mom, "Change is not always a good thing. It may force us out of tired habits and impose better ones upon us, but it can be stressful, costly, and even destructive. What's important about change is how we anticipate it and how we react to it." She fell on the steps of the bus. And in her own words, that was the end of a great life. She was in so much pain. She spent a month living in Las Vegas, Nevada, doing everything her insurance company asked. The therapy just made her feel worse, and that led to more surgery. They sent her to California to see a doctor. The surgery didn't work, so they set her up for more surgery. After 4 or 5 different surgeries, they were going in to take the hardware out. When they got in, they couldn't stop the bleeding. A screw had ruptured a vein. They went out and found Dad and told him that she most likely wouldn't survive the surgery. They ended up stuffing her full of strips of gauze to absorb all of the blood. They had cut her ureter, so the plan was to go back in and repair everything. She was in the hospital at least 3 weeks, and her life became a never-ending cycle of pain and prescriptions. Dr. Thomas installed a morphine pump and a spine stimulator to help her alleviate some of the pain. But the long-term results of years of morphine and pain medication was soft, brittle bones. She had her first fracture a couple years ago, and a total of 5 more since. This made it so Mom couldn't walk on her own without a walker. Again, these are Mom's words. "I've always been told that the only thing that is promised in life is change, taxes, and death. The only one I have left, I don't like to think about. But now, as I can't move around too good, I use my walker or my scooter. My bones are getting as old as I am. I find it harder to laugh a lot. But then I get to see my sweet grandbabies and my great-grandbabies. And I remember I still have a lot to be thankful for. I've been blessed with the best family anyone could have. I don't see many changes left to have, but I'm going to remind myself that life is good. Mom loved being a grandmother. She adored every grandchild and every great-grandchild. Her hope was written that her grandchildren would remember some of the fun things that she did, some of the traditions, and carry those on. Now fast forward to Mom's words on August 21st, 2021. I just had my fifth fracture. Dr. Urban put the cement in between the discs and said I lost an inch with this fracture. I still can't walk without my walker, and my life is spent sitting in my lift-up chair. I am walking in my hot tub, but my back is hurting a lot. I just don't know if I'll ever get better from this. She fell on the steps of the bus. Selfishly, I can't imagine how empty it will feel not to be able to share all of my moments of life with my mom. With her passing, she leaves behind a legacy of kindness and compassion, generosity. She did have the brightest smile, and I know she shared with everyone. She held her head high, even in the most difficult of circumstances, teaching us all what it looks like to remain and finish strong. Mom was my hero. Growing up, I always knew she would drop everything to lend a hand. She was a great source of strength, a kind and thoughtful person, the person that was always there with love and guidance through the ups and downs, the celebrations, and the challenging moments. I'll never forget the life lessons she taught me. Her wisdom will forever guide me in the decisions that I make throughout my life. And I pray that she guides you in yours too. I love you forever, Mom. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
On behalf of our family, I would like to begin by thanking everyone that is here today. For those who have sent their love, their thoughts, condolences. We've received countless phone calls, emails, texts, flowers, visits, thoughts, and prayers. They have been comforting during this difficult time, and it has been a reminder of the impact that Mom and Dad has had on all of us. For those who don't know, my name is Slade. I am the youngest of the family, and I'll be giving Dad's eulogy. Dad was born to Henry Albert Fott and Bessie Bundy Fott on August 9, 1946, in St. George, Utah. He was given the name Jack Gordon Fott. He was the sixth child to Henry and Bessie. He lived in St. George until he was five, and then his family moved to Mesquite. His parents got divorced when he was young. Then my grandpa passed away when Dad was in elementary school. Being so young, my dad was raised by a single mother. Grandma Bessie was the hardest working mom trying to raise eight kids. The Fotts were the poorest family around. I hear stories about how they were lucky to get an orange or an apple for Christmas. Dad would get one shirt a year, plus a shirt. Grandma would sew it herself. If they wore out, he would go barefoot until his mom could get him another pair. When his friend would go to play, my dad would go to work. My dad was around 6 or 7 years of age when he first started working. His first job was to drive the hay wagon for Faye and Aaron Levin. He would drive as they loaded it. He was so happy when he received his very first silver dollar and was excited to take it home to his mother. He made it his job to make sure those around him were taken care of. Dad taught us the importance of hard work. When he was 14 years old, he cut his hand badly on a combine working down on Hafen's farm. He would have several surgeries on his hand up in Salt Lake City. My grandma was able to go with him the first surgery, but after that, my dad had to go alone. He had a few surgeries. He would sleep in the bus station and then head back home on the bus. Even after getting all those surgeries, his hand was never the same. It kept him away from the army. A funny story my dad told were about his brothers Roy and Guy. They were always up for entertaining, and he was usually it. They would tell him to ride the cow even though they knew he couldn't stay on. They would tie his legs around the stomach and beneath it, and the cow would buck, and he would fall to the bottom as they bucked through the fields. They also liked to shoot arrows in the air and wanted Dad to catch them. Once he did, in the leg. Whether these stories are true or not, they sure entertained us as we learned about my father's younger years. When growing up and going to school, as my sister said, he wasn't the most studious person. He liked lunch, recess, FFA, and shop class. There where he learned to do the things with his hands. He would take engines apart just to see if he could put them together, which of course he did. He would have liked to have played sports, but was unable to because he had to work. My mom and dad went to school together, and she would feel sorry for him. And as you heard my sister say, she did most of the work. Dad was very shy and would always say he didn't have time for girls, but he did love his cars. He would drive around looking for the girls, but was too shy to talk to them. He liked driving the cars, rebuilding them, and anything to do with them. He also seemed to find himself getting into a lot of trouble with them too. My dad would take my mom and others for rides in the old 442. They would race to St. George and time them, seeing who could do it the fastest. I think my dad's fastest time was 27 minutes. At the time, my mom and dad were not romantically involved, so they thought it was a lot of fun. As time passed, she would be scared at how crazy he was and would hope he would not get into an accident. On another occasion, despite being a great driver, he was driving down the street and mom was going the opposite direction. He got caught staring at mom and got in a little accident himself. He just loved everything about his cars. Dad and a good friend, Kent Hardy, entered the first Mint 400. After my mom and dad graduated, my mom left and went to college in St. George, while dad worked for C.T. Parker Construction Company, learning a lot, but was unable to stop thinking about my mom. She didn't have feelings for dad at this time, but she did think he was cute. Dad really liked mom and wanted to see her all the time. He would make his way to St. George and try to find her and give her a ride in that 442. It was at this time mom started to have that change of heart. She started to always wonder where he was, who he was with, and what he was doing. Dad wasn't the romantic guy, but he did figure out how to get the job done. He thought he'd be clever. I think this is the same story my sister told. He thought he'd be real clever and hide the ring in the glove box, and mom found it. She wasn't too impressed with his romance, but she knew she loved him. They were both 19 when they got married in the St. George LDS Temple on May 26, 1966. Dad was a very jealous man. He would go to see Mom while she was waitressing at Vonda's and see her taking an order for a guy and would just get jealous and walk back out the door. Dad loved to go camping, hunting, and just be outdoors. This was his comfort zone. We all loved camping, and we couldn't wait till fall to arrive so we could go hunting. We never seemed to get the big one, but we sure loved to be outdoors with Mother Nature. Dad and Mick Levitt were good friends growing up. They were neighbors and always seemed to get in trouble together. They continued to do these things, and hunting was their escape. As us kids started to get older, we would have lots of activities. Dad would do his best to be at all of them and support us. He was usually working, but would still make it for that big hit, that final shot, or to see Cassandra cheering. When his grandkids came, he made it a point to be at all of their events. There were many. We all kept him very busy from every event to another. Dad was a generous person. He would give to so many. He knew how tough it was and wanted or needed something and not to be able to get it. It was hard for him to see others who were lacking, and he wanted to help. I have heard story after story about when Dad would go above and beyond to help someone. One time, his brother's granddaughter was driving through the area and broke down. Dad went and found her, gave her a place to rest, gave her a place to sleep, and then the next day helped her fix her car. Another story I know about was when a good friend was sick with cancer, and Dad heard of this miracle procedure that might help. He got things all set up and ready. He offered to pay for the entire treatment in hopes his friend would be willing to give it a shot. I know there are many more stories like this. My dad was the most caring and giving person I ever knew. Dad had lots of friends. They would meet in their little groups. We called them the coffee shop boys. Even though there wasn't a lot of coffee being drunk, it was all about gathering and socializing. Anyone who knows my dad always knows he liked to argue. We think he would argue just for the sake of arguing. He liked to stir the pot. I don't know if he ever won any of these arguments, but Dad would always say he did. Bill Tanner, you were always in the little groups. I think you guys kept him young. Dad was a loyal friend to all and was always there for you. Dad was not an educated man, but he had wisdom beyond understanding. He made some very big decisions in life, and those decisions made my life what it is today. He took a chance some 35, 40 years ago to buy a small garbage company and see what he could make work. For the first 2 years, he would continue to do his job driving truck for Garrett Freightline and working in many wise decisions. He turned it into a successful business. I don't know where I would be if he didn't take some of these chances early in life. For all of us, those decisions have affected my life and all those in our family, all for the best. I know we will miss seeing him every day at the yard, checking to see how everyone is doing, telling us his story, and sharing his wisdom. In 1993, Dad bought a cabin in Pine Valley. He loved to take his grandchildren up where it was cool and just get away from the hustle and bustle of home. He would take them fishing to play in the snow and just enjoy being with them. They had an old sign that hung in the cabin that said, "What happens at the cabin stays at the cabin." I think the grandkids learned to live by this saying because not too much was ever said when they got home. Everything was hush hush, and that's okay. We all knew they were in good hands. A few years back, we had our eyes opened. In a way, we were in disbelief. We always knew Dad was just a little different than the rest of his siblings, but we could never figure out what it was. Well, with the technology and the internet, we found out that Dad was switched at birth. He had a different date of birth, and he was born a Goobler. This was a big deal in a way, but it didn't change how he thought and felt about his Fought Bundy family. Dad was able to meet his switch person, Maurice, a few years ago. It was an interesting and joyous occasion, but it didn't change. Dad was a Fought Bundy through and through. He was raised by a wonderful mother who loved him unconditionally. Dad was blessed to be raised in a home with love and had the gospel at the center of their lives. Grandma Bessie was truly an amazing woman. Until Dad's passing a couple Mondays back, as I saw him holding my mom's hand, I have never known a day without an unconditional love. He loved my mom so much, and I'm so thankful that they are together and keep a close eye on all of us. Dad was a role model. He was a caring and supportive husband, father, and an exceptional grandfather, and one of the greatest friends I will ever have. I will deeply miss him every day for the rest of my life. Let us all remember how he touched each one of us. Dad showed strength and love right up until the last day. I hope that one day, when I die, my children and grandchildren can look back, tell a funny story or two about me, and how much I love them. Then, like my dad, I will have a complete life. I am grateful for the plan of salvation. I truly believe we will be a family in heaven. I will get to see my mom and dad once again. I am grateful for the gospel and what it brings into my life. I don't know where I'd be without it. Dad, I love you. I truly cherish every moment I was able to spend with you. I know you're at peace with mom, hand in hand, by your side. I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to stand here today. Three or four days ago, I couldn't speak without coughing. And our prayers have been answered, and I've been able to clear my throat and be able to say a few words to honor my mom and dad. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the strength to be here today. And I too thank you guys for being here, for the beautiful flowers from everyone. Our family's been truly blessed by all the love and support and on our behalf. And guys, we're very thankful and grateful for that. Mom and Dad had lots of friends. As I've played around this last week thinking what to say, thinking about my parents, it seemed like every stage in life they excelled at. And I was a part of that. And my siblings were a part of that. And my grandkids, we're all a part of their just everything they did, they excelled at. Thinking back when I was preteen, we lived in the Desert Palms Motel in Mesquite. And back then, all we did as kids, we rode our bikes around town. And that's what you did for entertainment back then. And I had friends who owned gas stations. And we always went there to get a cool drink. But my friends always wanted to go back to my place to play and to hang out. My mom was she was just a joy to be around. Dad was always work, but Dad always had cool projects, always entertaining. But just everybody loved to go back to my house. That was what they always said. Let's go back to your house to hang out. And that's just who my parents were. Growing up, we had great lives. Mom and Dad, this last year, they've been working on putting all their videos together. All of our, when I was just a little pup. And they put them all on a CD, and we got them about 2 months ago and was able to watch them. Just all the things that we did so much, so many lake trips. We owned a boat. And I can't believe the time that we spent at the lake. Houseboat trips. Mom and Dad always liked to get together with them, get our cousins together. We had so many houseboat trips. The good times. We went to Seattle to see cousins yearly, it seemed like. Had a great trip to Yellowstone. Just so many outings that Mom and Dad made life enjoyable. Hunting trips we talked about. Me and Slade probably, Dad could have probably been a great hunter and got the big deer, but me and Slade probably held him back. Mick always got the big one, it seemed like, Mick Levin. Dad always made sure we had a good time. And them trips were always so great, just being able to go hunting all day, and we'd come home and Mom would have us a great warm meal. They made everything fun. Very fortunate to have mom as my bus driver in sports. You know, I got to have my mom watch all my games. And I'm sure Slade just thought it was the same way. Grateful to have an unlimited supply of money when your mom is always there. You never run out of money, is what I'm saying, when you go to these trips. So, you know, if you went by yourself, you'd always spend every dime they gave you. But when your mom's right there, you can always ask for a little bit more. You know, and I've heard so many countless stories over the years how my mom helped those kids who had no money. And I'm grateful for that example she was, and how she helped them out on them trips. She's such giving people. You know, after I got married and had kids, mom and dad excelled at grandparents. Mom and dad would come and get my kids on a Friday evening. And those of you who know who are grandparents, you know, sometimes one or two kids can wear you out. I know I'm that way. But mom and dad would have all nine of them there. All nine grandkids. We wouldn't see our kids for the whole weekend. You know, like Slade said, you didn't know what went on. You just know. You know that each one of them came back. And each one of them felt like grandma and grandpa loved them the best. I don't know how they do that or how you do that. You know, you love all your kids and your grandkids, but they made each one of them feel special. Easter parties, Christmas parties, mom and dad excelled at. I think it's been mentioned, but they always made Easter time fun for the grandkids. They always had an Easter or Christmas program centered around the Savior. Just always, always wanted us to get together, and I'm grateful for them. Times that we had. As my parents, as my parents got older, you know, they couldn't do a lot. You know, one thing I do want to share with my grandparents, my grandkids were so fortunate to have my mom and dad made it to every event. They wanted to know about every event they had, whether they made it or not. That was their priority, but they wanted to know about everyone, and I really believe they made it to every event, big or small. They found a way to get there. Forever grateful. As they got older, mom had a board that she always changed for our birthdays and our anniversaries, and she'd always take a picture of it and send it to us. You know, that was maybe the best that she could do. But she would change that for every occasion. She let you know that she loved us. As they grew old, Dad would always say, you know, they had the time and the money, but they didn't have the health no more. That's the only regret that I wish they would have had better. You know, I think Dad would have loved to have drug Mom, but Mom just couldn't go. I think Dad could have took her, but she just couldn't go. And for that, I wish they would have had a better quality of life. Because they gave us a great quality of life. Mom and Dad were generous people. So many occasions, so many stories. There's so many stories I probably don't know. But I do know of so many that
Mom and Dad always cared about other people before them. And us kids were no exception. Mom and Dad gave us a great start in life. And we know that. And we're forever grateful for that. I'm grateful too for the plan of salvation. I'm grateful for my parents and for the example that they were in my life and surely your life. They will be missed. I don't think you can prepare for this in life, but I'm so thankful they went together. Just a tender mercy you've been blessed with. I have a testimony that I will see them again, and I'm forever grateful for that. I'm so grateful for my loving family, for my wife, who's helped me this last month. I just want her to know that I'm thankful for that. I love my mom and dad. And thank you for being here. I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'd like to thank all those that have contributed today and spoke today. Before I talk, I'll have a couple of remarks. But after that, we will have a congregational hymn on page 150, God be with you till we meet again, after which the benediction will be given by Austin Winningham. We will then continue at the Buckleville Cemetery, where there will be the dedicatory prayers for Jack and Kathy, which were given by Casey Prisby and Daniel Briner. Our pallbearers are Daniel Briner, Casey Prisby, Keani Fott, Austin Winningham, Josh Fott, Cody Fott, Matt Gonzalez, Jade Jensen, and Ty Smith. Our honorary pallbearers are Paxton Briner, Stone Gonzalez, Rawlings Prisby, Nixon Winningham, Coase Gonzalez, Copeland Fott, Jagger Jensen, Hatch Winningham, Recker Prisby, and Jalen Fott. Compassionate Service, we want to thank the Buckleville Second Ward and Buckleville First Ward and Mesquite Third Ward. There will be a dinner or a luncheon at the Buckleville Chapel after the cemetery. Brothers and sisters, as we sing the song, I know that my Redeemer lives. There's the words that hit me strong was, He lives. And that's what I hope that we understand and know today, that He did and He is resurrected. He lives today. And because of that, we will once again be resurrected. I'm so grateful for the plan of salvation, which has been talked about today. I'm so grateful that we have an opportunity to meet and see our families once again after we leave this life. President Nelson has said death is a necessary component of our eternal existence. No one knows when it will come, but it is essential to God's great plan of happiness. Thanks to the atonement of the Lord, eventually resurrection is reality. And eternal life is a possibility for all humankind. And I love to those words that resurrection is a reality and eternal life is a possibility for all. I want to leave you with my testimony that I know that God lives and that Jesus is the Christ, that He has suffered for each one of us and that He has been risen again so that we can once again be together as families. And how grateful I am for this. How grateful I am. that we have this gospel, and you're a grateful I am for temples, that sealing power that we can all be sealed together as families. And I leave you with that testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to have been here together as family and friends to celebrate the life of Jack and Kathy. We are grateful for their love and for their examples. May you bless their family members who are mourning at this time, that they may be comforted with thy spirit. May you bless them with faith in thee, thy Son, and the plan of salvation, that they will be reunited with them once more. Please, Heavenly Father, bless us that we may be able to comfort each other and lift each other up. Help us to live our lives to make Jack and Kathy proud. Help us to live our lives and make decisions that will help us to be reunited with them one day. Please bless us all with safety as we depart, that we can travel to those places with no harm and danger. Bless us that we may be healthy, that we may be able to be of comfort and of cheer. We are so grateful for all of thy many blessings, and these things we say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Would the audience please rise?
Paul Barrow, please step back here.
Oh, Paul Barrow, please step back to the back.